Okay, and where was that found, Mark?
Ecclesiastes 7, 1 through 6.
Okay, very good. So it's not always, you know, we have many scriptures to talk about laughter and it's a good medicine, but sometimes mourning shows more of a humility of the heart toward God than frivolity.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're going to sing the first song we're going to sing tonight. Of course, this is taken out of the old school hymnal, page 362, Heaven Holds All to Me. Want to start that, Mark?
Earth holds no treasure but perish with using, however precious they be. Yet there's a country to which I am going. Heaven holds all to me. Heaven holds all to me. Brighter its glory will be. Joy without measure will be my treasure. Heaven holds all to me. Out on the hill of that wonderful country, happy, contented, and free, loved ones are waiting and watching my coming. Heaven holds all to me. Why should I long for the world and its sorrows, women at home or the sea? Millions are singing the wonderful story. Heaven holds all to me. Heaven holds all to me. Brighter its glory will be. Joy without measure will be my treasure. Heaven holds all to me.
Well, let's sing John Newton's song, 220. This is called Glorious Things of Thee Are Spoken.
Glorious things of thee are spoken, Zion city of our God. He whose word cannot be broken, born before his own abode. On the rock of ages founded, what can shake thy sure repose? With salvation's walls surrounded, thou mayst smile at all thy foes. See the streams of living waters springing from eternal love. Well supply thy sons and daughters, and all fear of want remove. Blessed inhabitants of Zion, washed in the Redeemer's blood, Jesus soon their souls rely on, makes them kings and priests to God. Round each habitation hovering, see the cloud and fire appear, for a glory and a covering, showing that the Lord is near. Thus deriving from their banner, light by night and shade by day, thus they feed upon the manna, which he gives them when they pray. Savior, if of Zion city I the grace of member am, let the world deride or pity, I will glory in thy name. Fading is the worldly's pleasure, all his boasts and pomp and show, solid joys and lasting treasure, none but Zion's children know.
Okay, the last song we're going to sing is a psalm, page 61, 139, Psalm 139.
Lord, thou hast searched me, thou hast known my rising and my sitting down. And from afar thou knowest well the very thoughts that in me dwell. Thou knowest all the ways I went, my path and lying down dost ken. For in my tongue no word can be, but lo, Lord, is known to thee. Behind, before me, thou dost send, and lay on me thy mighty hand. Such knowledge is for me too strange, and high beyond my utmost range. Where shall I from thy spirit flee, or from my presence hidden be? In heaven thou art, if there I fly, in death's abode, if there I lie.
Well, we want to thank all of our Facebook guests that have joined us tonight, this broadcast. And we are glad to have you with us. And I will say this. This is just an observation for for those that are with us tonight. Joseph Saracen, Mark Kennedy, Ashley Kinney, and the rest that will certainly probably be along shortly with us. And, of course, I have just unmuted Brother Carl Roberts' mic as well. Good evening, Brother Carl.
Hey, good evening, guys. How is everybody?
Doing well. How are you guys?
Doing well, thanks to the good Lord.
Amen. I was just observing, you know, I have noticed that since I have taken a more active and demonstrative position on biblical cosmology, our audience has dropped significantly from Facebook. That's okay. That's all right. God is the one who ordains who comes to Facebook and listens to our messages and who does not. I've also noticed that this is just an observation, and I find it very interesting. I would used to lose about probably 10 friends a month on Facebook, and since we have taken the biblical position of cosmology, I'm losing over 100 Facebook friends a month, so 10 times. But you know, there's always those that want to be our friends, so we just keep replacing them. I think I replaced 4 today that dropped off. So, you know, it's good to know that God, we don't have anything to do with the addition. We cannot add to the Bride of Christ. It's fixed. It's fixed. It's a decree. God predestinated. And as far as who fellowships with us, that also is ordained by God. So I just wanted to let everyone know that tonight. I wanted to tonight go into a chapter that about 22 years ago, I started doing a study through the book of Jeremiah. And when I came to this chapter 23, it just, frankly, it blew me away. This was 23 years ago when I was studying through this. And I was thinking back then how apropos it was for that time that we were living in then. Well, 22, 23 years has passed, I think how much more apropos it is for now, the times we're living in now. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to have Brother Mark read the first 20 verses, and then we're going to discuss it. Then I'm going to have Brother Carl read the final 20 verses in Jeremiah 23, and we'll all discuss this and go through this. I think it's a very, very timely chapter for us to go through. So I'm going to turn it over to Brother Mark to start the first 20 verses.
Thank you, Brother Larry. God bless all of our saints listening tonight. May God meet you at the point of your need. Hi, Brother Carl. God bless you. Hi, Sister Babs. God bless you. Love you guys.
We love you too. God bless you, brother.
All right. In the Authorized King James, Jeremiah chapter 23, that was the first 20 verses, right, Brother Larry?
Yes,
Okay. Verse 1. Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Verse 2, therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel against the pastors that feed my people. Ye have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, saith the Lord. Verse 3, and I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries whither I have driven them, and will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. Verse 4, and I will set up shepherds over them, which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. Verse 5, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and the king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. Verse 6, in his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name, whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. Verse 7, therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that they shall no more say, the Lord liveth, which brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. Verse 8, but the Lord liveth, which brought up and which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country and from all countries whither I had driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land. Verse 9, mine heart within me is broken because of the prophets. All my bones shake. I am like a drunken man and like a man whom wine hath overcome because of the Lord and because of the words of his holiness. Verse 10, for the land is full of adulterers, for because of swearing the land mourneth. The pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up, and their course is evil, and their force is not right. Verse 11, for both prophet and priest are profane. Yea, in my house have I found their wickedness, saith the Lord. Verse 12, wherefore their way shall be unto them as slippery ways in the darkness. They shall be driven on and fall therein, for I will bring evil upon them, even the year of their visitation, saith the Lord. Verse 13, and I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria. They prophesied in Baal and caused my people Israel to err. Verse 14, I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem an horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. Therefore, verse 15, therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets, behold, I will feed them with wormwood and make them drink the water of gall. For from the prophets of Jerusalem is profaneness gone forth into all the land. Verse 16, thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart, and not out of the mouth of the Lord. Verse 17, They say still unto them that despise me, the Lord hath said, ye shall have peace. And they say unto everyone that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. Verse 18, for who hath stood in the counsel of the Lord, and hath perceived and heard his word? Who hath marked his word and heard it? Verse 19, behold, a whirlwind of the Lord is gone forth in fury, even a grievous whirlwind. It shall fall grievously upon the head of the wicked. And verse 20, the anger of the Lord shall not return until he have executed and till he have performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days ye shall consider it perfectly.
Well, you know, before we move into this, I will say that we're getting a lot of bad signals this evening. Facebook's trying to reconnect. We lost our signal. It seems to be an ongoing issue. I'm not sure what we're going to do to remedy this problem. I've looked at other platforms. I'm going to end the video on Facebook and try to reconnect on it because it's not able to reconnect. So bear with me if you would just briefly, and I'll reconnect. I hate to do that because we usually lose some people, but it is what it is. Hold on 1 second. I'm going to try to reconnect with Facebook again. Okay, we're back live now on Facebook. As we go through Jeremiah 23, in the Bible there are a lot of woes. We see the same thing with Jesus Christ and John the Baptist giving out woes. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites and so on. Well, Jeremiah is giving a woe out unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Now, there's another verse in the Bible that says that they will run to and fro seeking for the word of God, and they shall not find it. There will come a time. That's the time that we're living in right now, brothers mm-hmm. and sisters.
Amen.
By the way, I really believe, like I said earlier when we started the broadcast, that by and large, not all, but by and large, all churches that uphold or require their members to uphold creeds and confessions, synods and sessions, are, for the most part, putting people under the law service, the old law service.
Mm-hmm.
It's a way of controlling people. So when someone starts talking to me, people say, well, are you against the Westminster Confession? Are you against the Heidelberg Catechism? Are you against the Canons of Dort? I am for the Bible, okay? And I don't need extra-biblical things to substantiate or to validate whether I am in Christ or not, okay? And that's my position. I know a lot of people will get bent out of shape for me making a statement like that, but I can tell you from experience that people will use these things, whatever it is, rules of decorum, church membership, baptism, closed communion or open communion, tithing, being a part of a covenant in a church. All of these things have caused the sheep to be scattered. The sheep are fed by the word of God. You know, every works religion has to have an ancillary to the Bible, whether it's the Mormons, whether it's the Presbyterians, whether it's the Baptists, and their rules of decorum and protocol, whatever organization or denomination or demonation you are a member of, these people have bought into secularism, because most of these organizations require their deacons or their elders to be ordained to go through a four-year undergraduate university and then go on to seminary. And this is why God's little remnant is being scattered. He says, "You've scattered my flock and driven them away, and I have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doings." Judgment is coming upon all of these pastors who are preaching a works doctrine and not grace, who are saying that you have to subscribe to some confession or some creed or some rules of decorum or whatever, or you have to tithe or whatever rules they put you under. Mm-hmm. But God said that he will gather his remnant. He will gather. And notice where he's going to gather them from. Out of all countries. That's what we're doing right now. We're speaking to all countries. Uganda, Romania. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This morning we had a pastor from Africa joining us. He's calling us out of these brick-and-mortar, rule-making law service organizations into the true gospel. "I will set up shepherds over them which shall feed them." How are God's people fed? They're fed by the word of God.
Amen.
They're not fed by all of this other extracurricular, extra biblical kind of stuff. That's not feeding the sheep.
Mm-hmm.
"All the days come, saith the Lord, I will raise up David, a righteous branch," and we know who that is, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And notice,
amen.
By the way, verse 5 and 6 are messianic prophecies by Jeremiah. 6 says that this is his name. "He shall be called the Lord our righteousness." We talked about that this morning, the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. And by the way, that's what true, if you want to use the word, servants of the sheep should be proclaiming, the Lord our righteousness, not the Lord our righteousness and some of my righteousness. Not a mixture of works and grace. And then he says, "The Lord liveth, which brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt." We talked about that this morning.
Mm-hmm.
God is not the God of the dead, but he is the God of the living. And he has brought us out of Egypt. He's brought us out of brick and mortar denominationalism and religiosity, and religion, and works.
Mm-hmm.
"Lord liveth," verse 8, "which brought up and which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country." God's the one that led us out.
Amen.
And he takes a stand against these people who are doing, are actually scattering the sheep of God. He says in verse 11, "Both prophet and priest are profane," you know. And he also says that they actually strengthen, okay, they actually strengthen the hands of evildoers in verse 14. They strengthen mm-hmm. the hands of evildoers. Why do we have all of this in our society? And by the way, a lot of people, when they talk about Sodom and Gomorrah, they often are not addressing people who say they are Christians and are in brick-and-mortar denominations. But this is who he is addressing here. These are people who say they are in the church that are involved in all of these things. He says in verse 15, therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets, I will feed them with wormwood. I will feed them with wormwood. And, well, they also, how many people have you, and we're going to see later on in this chapter, he gets into more depth about people that are always saying they have a word of the Lord.
Yes.
He says, they say still unto them that despise me, the Lord hath said, you shall have peace. We heard that in the State of the Union message, you know. We are more prosperous than we have been in the last ever how many years. We're economic. We're sound. The State of the Union is sound and all that. And it says they say they walk after the imagination of their own heart. No evil shall come upon you. You know, another scripture tells us that they will say peace and there will come sudden destruction.
Mm-hmm.
He goes on and he says, behold, a whirlwind of the Lord has gone forth in fury. God abhors pastors who scatter his flock. He abhors it. So that's my thoughts on the first 20 verses of this chapter. I'm going to turn it over to Mark, and then Mark, you can, after you're through, you can turn it over to Carl.
Amen, brother. Amen. I love that first verse about the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture. And I feel that's talking about every false teacher from the times of Christ up till today. And so, as we know, the Pharisees were part of that situation, and so that applies to them. And I feel it applies to all of these false teachers on TV and radio today, including Billy Graham. Of course. And then, yes, verse 5, David has the righteous branch because Christ was in the line of David in that's the genealogy in the first chapter of Matthew. So the righteous branch, you got it exactly right. The none other than Jesus Christ, our Lord. And then in verse 6, I love it, the Lord our righteousness. And let's see, where was it? Oh, yeah, verse 14, about they commit adultery and they walk in lies and they strengthen also the hands of evildoers that none doth return from his wickedness. That reminds me of Romans 1, verse 32 here, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. I watch people when I go around and out and stuff, and I see groups of people in this town, and they're going to the bars together. Wicked people love to hang out with other wicked people. Isn't that amazing?
Yes, that's right.
Yep, so that's my thoughts at the moment. Praise God. Thank you.
Yes. Brother Carl?
Yes, sir. Well, just to sort of talk about where you were, sort of what you began with earlier. You know, the church, the true church of God, his remnant, we are underground. It's my opinion that when Christ taught about prayer in the Gospels, you know how he told us to not go out on the street corners in front of people and pray, but to go into a closet and ask our Father in secret. And there's nothing more underground than that. This whole system of this whole religious world is of churches and cameras in these churches and broadcasting these people praying and all this other nonsense. It is vile. And that's how the Lord, this is what the Lord is describing to us here in the 23rd chapter of of Jeremiah. He's describing free will works religion, just like you talked about, Brother Larry. In verse 2 here, therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel against the pastors that feed my people, ye have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, saith the Lord. These are the hirelings that Christ warned us about. He said that he's the door of the sheepfold, and any man that comes up some other way and not through the door, the same is a thief and a liar, all right? And what he's talking about is salvation by grace alone, all right? If anyone is preaching free will works idolatry, which its most common form is Arminianism. Arminianism, in my opinion, must be stomped out. And I know that it will be, and God in his purpose and on time and will do that. But whenever I look at the world today and the shape of this country, I lay the fault at the foot of Armenian free will works religion. And women preachers. I mean, it's just so vile. Here in verses 6, 7, and 8, the Lord our righteousness, Jehovah Sekinyu, the Lord our righteousness. And this is just like you said, Brother Larry, I mean, you know, we're taught of God and he is our righteousness. We have none. We have none at all. 2 Corinthians 5:21, you know, for he hath made him to be sin who knew no sin, that we might become made the righteousness of God in him. And just, you know, just every time I think about that, brothers, I mean, every time I think about the Lord has made us his righteousness. I can't, what a thought, how wondrous. I mean, if I could just get a hold of that in my heart by the grace of God. Verses 7 and 8, I just sort of see here, the old covenant and the new covenant, you know. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that they shall no more say, the Lord liveth, which brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but the Lord liveth, which brought up and which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country and from all countries whither I had driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land. You know, being taught of God, we know just that, you know, we are that salvation is totally of God. It is his work. It's the only work that he will accept is the work that he performed on behalf of his elect, and we don't get to add to that at all. And I just, like I say, I just see the picture of the old and new covenant here. Christ, as you know, Christ is revealed to us in the New Testament. And I guess that's really all I have for that right now.
Yeah, well, before you move on, I'd like to, I totally agree with all of your comments, especially your comment about the Arminianism and free will doctrine. And, of course, I heard something yesterday. There's a broadcaster. They have probably over 250 stations. They're on Facebook. They're on YouTube. They have their own platform and everything, and it's American Family Radio. And of course, we know that they are United Methodist. Don Wildman started that group, and now his son is the president of American Family Association. And one of the things that was said on one of their broadcasters made a statement. This was yesterday. What this United States needs is a great awakening. Well, we've had two great awakenings so far, is what they were called. The first one, of course, was John Wesley and his false doctrine of free will. And then the second one was, of course, we know all about the lies of that were purported by what was his name? Can't even think of his name now. Anyway, Charles Finney. Charles Finney was said to be had ushered in the second great awakening. Mm-hmm. Look, there's one person that can awaken anyone, can open the eyes of the blind and cause the ears of the deaf to see, and that's the Holy Spirit of God.
Amen.
Not some minister. I do not believe in preacher regeneration.
Mm-hmm.
I believe quickening. I believe in the quickening by the Holy Spirit. I'm not saying that God can't use preachers, but what I'm saying is that the rebirth, the born-again experience happens as a result of the Holy Spirit of God, not the result of a preacher, okay?
Amen.
And so anyway, this is something that I think you really nailed, is because when we look at the history of Arminianism, which, you know, Jacob Arminius and how they came against the doctrines of predestination, election, in particular redemption and unfailing grace, and how John Wesley attacked both George Whitefield and Augustus Toplady,
mm-hmm.
how C.I. Schofield further promoted the lies of free will and dispensationalism, how Charles Finney and Dwight Moody jumped on the bandwagon and did the same, and then we had the evangelicals and Catholics together turning back to Rome, and Dr. Dobson focused on the family, and Billy Graham and the Southern mm-hmm. Baptist Convention, the Southern Baptist Convention embracing the likes of Rick Warren and his purpose-driven lies, you know. So you really nailed it. That's why this scripture is so timely. It's based upon people actually being told by people in leadership that their decision, they're letting Jesus into their heart, all of these other lies
mm-hmm.
has propagated the culture. And this is what I believe in today's contemporary society would be the pastors destroying and scattering the sheep by teaching all these false doctrines. So that's, I'll say what Brother Carl said. I could go on and on. Better I just stop there. Carl, why don't you start with 20 and we'll work through the end of the chapter.
Oh, it's sort of hard to know, I'll tell you. I get started on this. It's just this utter blasphemy. I mean, it, you know, and I'll move on after I say this. You know, as I mentioned before, you know, I asked an Armenian once, you know, I said, so do you believe that Jesus Christ saved anyone, or do you think he just made it possible? And when he looked mm-hmm. at me and told me, oh no, Christ just made salvation possible. You know, when you say that, you have committed heresy. A heretic thinks that way. All right. I mean, when you do that, all right, you are making yourself your own God. And you know, and they love to say, well, my faith is not a work. As I said before, if you believe that your own faith activates the blood of Christ on your behalf to atone for your sin, that's the ultimate work. There's none greater than that. And I utterly despise it. I can't. Oh, I'm sorry. Verse 21 in Jeremiah, the 23rd chapter, beginning with verse 21 and ending with verse 40, in the King James Version of the Bible only, the Authorized King James. Verse 21, I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doing. Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places, that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I feel heaven and earth, saith the Lord? I have heard what the prophets said that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yeah, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream, and he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith. Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them, and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. And when this people or the prophet or a priest shall ask thee, saying, what is the burden of the Lord? Thou shalt then say unto them, what burden? I will even forsake you, saith the Lord. And as for the prophet and the priest and the people that shall say, the burden of the Lord, I will even punish that man and his house. Thus shall ye say, every one to his neighbor and every one to his brother, what hath the Lord answered, and what hath the Lord spoken? And the burden of the Lord shall ye mention no more, for every man's word shall be his burden, for ye have perverted the words of the living God, of the Lord of hosts, our God. Thus shalt thou say to the prophet, what hath the Lord answered thee, and what hath the Lord spoken? But since ye say, the burden of the Lord, therefore thus saith the Lord, because ye say this word, the burden of the Lord, and I have sent unto you, saying, ye shall not say the burden of the Lord. Therefore, behold, I, even I, will utterly forget you, and I will forsake you in the city that I gave you and your fathers, and cast you out of my presence. And I will bring an everlasting reproach upon you, and a perpetual shame which shall not be forgotten.
Wow. Yep. I believe Jeremiah was preaching in a charismatic church there. do you realize how many churches claim to have special revelations from God that don't even line up to the Bible at all? You know? And I saw this, there was a little blip on Facebook. Some First Baptist church, I don't even know where it was from. It was a major city. Mm-hmm. And a guy got up in front of the whole church. And, of course, he had all of the churches clapping for him and everything. But they titled, I broke out speaking in tongues for the first time in a First Baptist church. And this guy actually started, you know, speaking in an unknown tongue in a Baptist church. There were no interpretations given. It was totally out of order. And, of course, everyone there was out of order. Mm-hmm. And how many times have we heard false prophets, like they've already been mentioned, whether it's Benny Hinn or Ken Copeland or Oral Roberts or whatever, they'll say, I have a burden of the Lord for you. You know, the Lord's given me a word for you and all this.
And oh, yeah.
What I get from this is that the prophet Jeremiah is telling, I mean, he's making it very clear. He's making it very clear that they are substituting this special revelation for the truth of God's word. That's what they're doing. He says in verse 31, well, let's just go up a little bit further. He says, verse 27, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams. That's exactly what they're doing. They're trying to get people away from the gospel and on other things by dreams and special revelations and all of this Rodney Brown laughing stuff that went on, all this stuff. Dreams. Is not my word like a fire that like a hammer that breaketh a rock in pieces? I'm against the prophets that steal my words. He's against them. And he says that they, against them that prophesy false dreams, they do error. And, you know, this also is true of those who are preaching false cosmology. God's against them. If someone is coming, if people say to me, I've had many people, and I've heard many people also confront other people that are holding to biblical cosmology, and they'll say, how can you say that we're not a globe? How can you say that we are not, we haven't gone to the moon? When we have all of these people, all of NASA, the overwhelming majority is against you. You know what? God is against these false prophets that are going along with this false scientism. He's against them. They're false prophets. They're not speaking the truth. And so, anyway, I will bring an everlasting reproach upon you and a perpetual shame which shall not be forgotten. I believe that's what God is doing right now. I believe that's why he's exposing NASA. I believe that's why he's exposing all of these false doctrines. He's bringing these people under reproach, and he's causing them to have a perpetual shame on them. And so that's kind of my thoughts. Brother Mark, I'll turn it over to you.
Amen, brother. Very well said. And Brother Carl, very well said. Very well said. Yes, all of these false teachers, I believe that God has ordained them to bring the people into a strong delusion.
Yes.
2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verses 9 to 11. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonder. Verse 10, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And verse 11, and for this cause God shall send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie. So all of these false teachers, they are ordained of God, I believe, to do this, to deceive the masses that God chose not to elect unto salvation. And it is a very sad commentary on the church today that this is the majority situation, that it's more dangerous, it's doctrinally dangerous to go into a church today, because who knows what kind of false doctrine you're going to get. So yes, these teachers, these pastors today, 9 times out of 10 they're lying to you. Yes.
You know, I was thinking, that's very well stated, Mark, and that brought to my mind, that brought to my remembrance, my memory. This was back when I was probably in about sixth grade, I guess, about sixth mm-hmm. grade. My dad was always very, especially in my earlier life, he was very open about his particular beliefs and everything, and he said to me, he said, you know, Larry, the time is going to come when, he said, you, now, I don't know if you guys remember, I know probably Brother Mark remembers this. There was a candidate, now, I have never been very pro-political on either side of the aisle because they're all corrupt. I don't take a position. I'm involved in that. I believe my ministry is to proclaim the gospel and the word of God. But there was a guy that ran for politics, and he said there's not a dime worth of difference between the Democrats and the Republicans. Well, what my dad told me was very similar to that as it relates to the churches, because what he told me is, he said, you know what, Larry, you may not believe this, but the time is going to come in your lifetime. He said, you mark my word. This is what my dad says. You mark my words. The time will come in your lifetime when you won't be able to tell the difference between any of the denominations at all, because they'll all be in cahoots with each other. They won't want to step, on each other's toes, because they don't want to lose their money, their funding. And so they all just will want to be one big happy family, all under one umbrella. He says, mark my word. That's what we've got today. We have, we just this last week, I got an email from a brother, I think Brother Andrew Brown. He sent me this. Pope Francis has just signed a covenant with Islam in mutual worship with the Catholic Church and Islam. Okay? Now, here we have two of the world religions, Islam and Catholicism, joining together. Okay? Well, we see the same thing within supposed Christendom. I mean, you have Southern Baptists now that call Roman Catholics Christians. You have, there's no difference between the Southern Baptist and the Charismatics. They all believe, they all are in cahoots with each other. And so what I'm trying to say is that you're right on, Brother Mark. It's no, there's no distinction between all of these religious bodies, and they're all into works. That's what brings them all together. They're all into works doctrine rather than pure, undefiled grace. And that's that's what that's the distinguishing characteristic. So that's what I have to say about that. Go ahead, Brother. We'll let you kind of bring this to a conclusion, Brother Carl.
Okay, I'm going to try to keep my thoughts coherent here and not go on for too long. There's so much I want to say about this topic.
Right. Free to take your time.
Okay. Well, here we see God, he contrasts his words to the words of false prophets. And in verse 29, and this is just my opinion, we see the effect of God's word. All right? And he says it's like a fire. Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? I can't help but think of how our hearts as sinful human beings are before the new birth. And God sends his word. He breaks that rocky heart, right? He breaks it into pieces. He breaks it into pieces, and he gives us a new one. You know, synergism. You know, we said before, and I don't like to use the word religion, but there's only two of them, grace and works, all right? And the gospel of Jesus Christ is the gospel of God's free grace, all right?
Amen.
That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. He is the door of the sheepfold. There's no coming in any other way. You know, God has fixed it this way. And he said, a stumbling stone, like he tells us in his word, a rock of offense. All right. And anytime we pick something up to carry it through that narrow door that's straight, that's grace. That's salvation by Jesus Christ alone. And when we pick something up and try to carry it, we stumble over the stumbling stone. All
Amen.
Right. We stumble over the stumbling stone. All right, and what you have today being preached throughout the whole world is a man-centered gospel. All right,
this is what we hear.
All right, this is what we hear that Jesus loves everybody. All right, that there's something special about you. There's something special about you, and God looked down from heaven and loved you and desired a relationship with you so bad. He sent Jesus Christ to die for you, and you need to give Jesus a chance. What a demonic lie from the pit of hell.
Amen.
All right? I mean, that is a man-centered gospel, and that is totally opposed to everything that we're taught in Scripture. All right? We are taught that there's none that seek after God. All right? We are told by the Holy Spirit through King David, blessed is the man that thou choosest and causes to approach unto thee. All right? Our Lord and Savior tells us in the Gospels when he told his disciples, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, that you might go forth and bear much fruit. And that is all a work of God. Every part of it. All right? And I mean, when I look around today at Arminianism and what it's done, I utterly despise it. I just I just utterly despise it, and I think it, and I pray that God stomps it out. And you know, like I said earlier, one day He will. We are told clearly here that that's what He's going to do. And I just, I grew up, in a home where my mother was the spiritual leader of the family, and she was charismatic. I was raised First Baptist Armenian. I had no idea what Armenianism or Calvinism was until 2014 when God saved me. But, and once my parents divorced when I was around 10, my mother began going to a Church of God church. And I can remember all these, I had some pretty crazy, I've seen some pretty crazy stuff going on within people, and I knew from the very beginning that it was of Satan. I knew from the very beginning that it was totally contrary to everything that's taught in Scripture. Even though I didn't know what Scripture was, I knew that wasn't right. I mean, it's utter foolishness. All right, it's utter foolishness. And I mean, we have in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ a king, all right? He is king, all right? And He rules, all right? And He has chosen to save some and condemn others. And this is His work. And we dare not add to it. And either way, no matter what He does, as we talked about this morning, He's righteous in all His ways. Again, these people, all right, we're told in verse 34, and as for the prophet and the priest and the people that shall say the burden of the Lord, I will even punish that man and his house. So even the people that sit under these false teachers like Perry Stone, like David Hogan, like Benny Hinn, like Joel Osteen, you name them, all right, Rick Warren, you name them. These people are under the judgment of God, and they have reaped to themselves with itching ears, false teachers, and God has given them over to themselves, and he has raised these men up, right, and placed them over these people. This is His work. Now, I mean, like I say, brothers, I just Armenianism is something that I utterly loathe. And that's really all I have to say. God bless you guys, and I really do appreciate the fact that the Lord has brought us together in fellowship. And real quickly, as you were saying whenever the broadcast started, Brother Larry, whenever you're gardening and you're planting, the weeds, boy, they just they just sprout up a lot quicker, you know what I mean? And thank God He's purging it, and we are blessed of the Lord to have our fellowship with one another and everybody that listens along with us. And God's just weeding them out. God's just weeding them out, brother. That's all He's doing.
That's right. Amen. Well, I would like to close tonight with this thought, and it's entitled God's Purposes. Sometimes we need to be reminded of God's purposes. Everybody wants to focus on, Rick Warren wants to focus on a purpose-driven life, and he should be focusing on God Almighty, not on man. But anyway, God's purposes are eternal in scope and decree. Yes, He chose me in past eternity. Before He created the earth, God gave me to Christ and decided to give me new birth. This eternal purpose by my eternal King secured new life He would to me bring. And that He would breathe into my dead soul. New life was predetermined. His purpose was controlled. This eternal purpose had nothing to do with free will or me. It was settled in heaven before creation in past eternity. The choice to give me eternal life was in God's eternal decree. What great comfort this brings to my soul to know my Savior, my past, present, and future is controlled. Well, that's our thoughts tonight, and that's the true word of God. That's not man giving you some false word. That is taken directly from the word of God. He said that For those for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. And those he predestinated, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. So anyway, I want to remind people tomorrow night that we are going to be having a talk show. And Brother Edward Henry is going to be talking about some of the same things in these, all of these works doctrines of rewards and so on. And I think it should be very, very helpful to come against these false teachings. With that, I want to thank Brother Mark and Brother Carl so much for your fellowship. And it's been a, I was telling my wife and son how blessed God has been in bringing you two brothers to us. It's been a tremendous blessing. I just want to thank God, and I want to thank you guys for your faithfulness and in standing by the truth of the Word of God.
Amen.
Brother Mark, do you have any final things to say before we close out tonight?
Brother Larry, the feeling is mutual. We feel so blessed that you're a part of our life, and we thank God for you and Mark and Rosette. And Brother Carl, I want to say this, brother, I love you. Your passion is such an inspiration to me, your passion for the truth, because the lie is so much out there in society, and it is so necessary to take an uncompromising stand on the truth. And Brother Carl, your passion for the truth is such an inspiration. And I love you guys. And I hope, Lord willing, I'm looking forward to meeting you guys in person, face to face in April. I love it. I love you guys.
Amen. Well, I thank you both. It's a wonderful blessing when God brings people together that share, you know, share the truth. Well, that's all I have, guys. I look forward to seeing you all tomorrow night, and help me out tomorrow night. I'm gonna lean on you guys. Let's make sure that we have equal try to equalize things out. Where not one person, whether it be Larry Phillips or Ed or anybody else, is dominating. We want to have reciprocity, and I believe that's what the Word of God teaches. So help me out tomorrow night in asking questions and so on. With that, I'm going to say good night. You all have a good evening, and we'll see you tomorrow evening.
Peace if possible and truth at all costs. God bless everybody.
Yeah. God bless.
There we go.